Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday in this chapel, Professor Kloa was assigned to preach on the church discipline text in Matthew 18, and he rightly told us what the text was not about. It's not about writing people off or getting rid of the deadwood. It's about caring and, well, about going. Go, apparently, even to a Cubs fan. Go and gain a brother, a sister, with God's promise that because of Jesus, the God who knows our sin, forgives us. So go with good news. Today, I am assigned the 15 verses that follow immediately next in Matthew chapter 18. We have Peter's question, we have Jesus' answer, and the parable of the unforgiving servant that reveals how things are now in the reign of God, how things are now that God in Jesus has come into the world as king. Now, let me assure you that my entire life and my entire experience as a pastor tells me that there is an entire sermon series in this parable, and it would be an important one. Most of that you will not hear this morning, so I won't talk about the problem of what if the person you need to forgive hasn't asked to be forgiven. I won't talk about the issue of what's the relationship between your will and your emotions when you've been deeply hurt. The questions go on and on. We have to forgive more than once, but God isn't like that, but we are. And so really, actually, as a matter of fact, I remember that on a Saturday this past summer, the phone rang. It was a friend, a pastor in Texas, and he was preaching a sermon series on forgiveness. And he wanted to chat about this reading that we have before us today. So the point is, there's a lot that could be said, and there's most of it that I won't say. But I will say this: Jesus means what he says, and his disciples must be people who forgive those who sin against them. It's hard to know exactly what's in Peter's mind, but he seems to want to set some sort of limit. He wants advance notice on how far it has to go, and Jesus, who as we all know loves to exaggerate to make a point, does just that. 7 times? Nope. 70 times 7. But the point is not counting until you get to 491. The point is, you can't put a limit. Jesus says, you are my disciples. You must forgive those who sin against you. And if you don't, you will perish. So that, rather urgently, brings up the question to which I would like to speak. It's the question of how. Not in the sense of mental processes or technique or internal thought or something like that, but how in terms of spiritual power? How is it possible? And I would suggest that the answer is sort of embedded in the question in verse 33. And I'll render it like this. It's a question. It was necessary then, wasn't it, that you have mercy on your fellow slave, as I also had mercy on you. In this story, there's really only one answer to that question. The answer is yes. It was necessary for mercy received to become mercy given. It was necessary that mercy received become mercy forgiven and given. And this means that the power, the raw, sufficient spiritual power, comes from holding on to the mercy. and never, ever forgetting it. Now, I think we all know that Jesus' parables about the reign of God are usually unusual. They're strange, they're unexpected. They tell about a man who's a wasteful and foolish sower of seed, about a king who sends his son to certain death at the hands of murderous renters, about a vineyard owner who hires workers in a way that no one ever did then or now. And in this story, there is a stunning mercy. There is an unforgettable mercy. 10,000 talents in technical current financial terms is a hillion skillion dollars. The big dictionary says, it's really funny, I read it yesterday. It says it take about 6 million days of work to pay that off. I went, 6 million days of work. Okay, well, I wonder what the, 60, I'm sorry, 60 million days of work. So I figure, okay, $10 an hour, 8 hours a day, you know, that's pretty, well, anyway, that's $4,800,000,000,000. So be patient with me and I'll repay you. Yeah, right. But see, you see, it's not about patience. It's about mercy. You can define mercy in a number of ways, but one of the ways is that mercy means that you don't get what you deserve. And mercy is a powerful, powerful thing. It's so powerful. Mercy is so powerful that it sent Jesus to call tax collectors and sinners in fulfillment of the scripture, "I desire mercy more than sacrifice." Mercy is so powerful that it sent Jesus to bring rest to the weary, true Sabbath in Matthew 12, because God desires mercy more than sacrifice. And that mercy then has a name, and mercy's name is Jesus. And although Peter was not allowed to calculate and to figure things out in advance, Jesus was, and Jesus did. And he was a powerful mercy that no one could stop, and he knew what it would take. He knew everything. He knew that it would take everything. And so he went, and he sold everything. He sold everything that he had. And in powerful mercy for you and me, in seeing the debt, he had compassion. He had mercy. And he took the debt away. That's how strong mercy is. It's stronger than sin. It's stronger than death. Mercy lives. Mercy is risen indeed. And that mercy has come to me, and it's come to you. So, let me ask you a question that makes sense only in terms of the mercy. It's necessary then, isn't it, that you have mercy on your fellow slave as Jesus had mercy on you? And the answer is yes. See, when you hold on to the mercy, you let go of the revenge. When God's mercy sets you free, then you set your sister, your brother, free. When God's mercy softens your heart, even when it's hard, and even when you don't know when the hurt will go away, and even when it makes no sense at all, Jesus opens our lips. O Lord, open my lips. And we say, yes, yes, it is necessary. Mercied, I will show mercy. Forgiven, I will forgive. It just makes sense. Sisters and brothers, that same mercy is here for you again today, that same power. It's in my words. It's in the promise of this supper. So I invite you to bring your debt, to bring your weakness, to bring your nothing to the mercy of Jesus. I promise, he promises, that his mercy will be strong for you and through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.